Our most faithful Father, how wonderful it is that Thou art always faithful, that Thou art always the one who are true to Thy promises, true to Thy commitments. We compare Thyself with ourselves and we realize how faithless we can be, how frequently we go our own way, how frequently we forget our promises to Thee. Oh Father, we praise Thee for Thy faithfulness. It was Thy faithfulness in sending the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ's faithfulness in being obedient to the Father that made possible our salvation. And Father, we praise Thee that this salvation is still available today, that the strongholds of Satan can be assaulted and there can be those who will come broken before Thee. Oh Father, we praise Thee that it is still the day of grace. And we pray that as we share the word also from the Gospel of Mark, we pray that there will be those who will be exercised by Thy word to repentance, exercised to cry out to Thee for mercy that salvation might come to them too. Father, bless us as we continue our study in the Gospel of Mark. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are really getting into our study of the Gospel of Mark. And we've discovered in Mark chapter 1 that Christ preached with authority. He came with the authority of God. And therefore, when he stood before a man with the unclean spirit, he rebuked that spirit, and the spirit had to come out of him. And Christ could not be circumvented in his command. This evil spirit had to be obedient to this. And then we saw him coming into the house of the mother-in-law of Simon Peter, and we see that he rebuked the disease and the fever left her. And we saw that in this fever, this was a picture of our sinful condition. The word fever relates to fire. And before we are saved, we are under the condemnation of God. We are subject to hell fire. It is imperative that we become saved. And this is where Christ meets us. Right at the point where we need that salvation. And when God intends to save someone, then they indeed are saved. And then we saw that when the fever had left the mother-in-law of Simon Peter, that she immediately ministered to Christ and to the disciples. And that's exactly what happens to us when we are saved. We have an intense desire to be used of Thee. We have an intense desire to live obediently before Christ. And this, of course, is because we have become born from above. We've become a child of God. Well, now we go on in verse 32. And we read, "And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him." Now historically, or in the historical context, this is a very easy picture to develop. It is the Sabbath day. The Jews in that time celebrated the Sabbath day from sundown on Saturday until sundown on from sundown on Friday until sundown on Saturday. And only after the sun had set on Saturday would they feel free to do certain things that they would do at any other time in the week, because you see, on the Sabbath day they had to rest. It was on the Sabbath day, we saw in verse 21, that Jesus went into the synagogue and preached the gospel. And so at the close of the Sabbath day, at even, when the sun was set, they began to bring many, many people to him to be healed. Many had evil spirits within them that had to be cast out, and he healed them, and he cast out the devils. We, of course, might raise the question, why is there so much activity with evil spirits at this time? When we search the Old Testament and read about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the kings of Israel in their days, it is very seldom that we read anything at all about an evil spirit. Oh, we read of King Saul that an evil spirit came upon him, but he's a very rare exception. We hardly find any comment at all about evil spirits. And if we look around today, we don't really see evil spirits. Oh, I know there are those who see evil spirits everywhere. Every time, everything that happens to a man, they're convinced that they are possessed of an evil spirit. A man who is possessed by drunkenness, or who is sick, or who has a vicious temper, or whatever it may be, they claim that this is an evil spirit. Well, first of all, I don't know how you would recognize an evil spirit if one was present in someone. I'm always astounded at the fact that when Judas betrayed Jesus, he was infilled by Satan himself, who is the prince of demons, who is the evil spirit, if you will. Yet the other disciples had no idea whatsoever that he was possessed by Satan. They hadn't the slightest idea that this kind of possession had taken place over him. So how can we tell that the evil spirits were there? Well, we know as we're reading Mark's gospel, and it declares here that many were brought that were possessed with devils, that God is declaring that they were possessed of devils. Whether the populace knew that or not is beside the question. They probably did not know this. Oh yes, at the time that an evil spirit was cast out, so that the evil spirit would be having conversation with Jesus, and you would have that confrontation between the Christ on the one hand and Satan on the other. At that time, they may have known it, and they may have even known it from occasionally from in other ways. There was a tremendous stirring among the forces of Satan, a tremendous uneasiness. We saw this in an earlier study. For all the thousands of years before this, Satan had been allowed to rule over the hearts of men, and basically he was left pretty much alone. Oh yes, he was limited by God insofar as how he could tear men and destroy them, because that is the thing that he wants to do, is to destroy. Nevertheless, he was not in conflict with Christ insofar as God's redemptive program was concerned. But now the King of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ is on the scene. Christ is here right in the habitat, in the environment where Satan operates, that is, amongst the unsaved of the world, which are his slaves, that is, they are Satan's slaves. And Christ has come to assault the kingdom of Satan. He is going to break down the prison walls of Satan. And so there is a tremendous activity amongst the evil spirits. And apparently Satan is possessing individuals as never before in an effort to assault Christ. This could be one of the reasons that we find so many with evil spirits that are coming in the presence of Christ. There is this open warfare that is in evidence. Well, at any rate, we find that the evil spirits are there in number, in great numbers, as they are possessing individuals. It's a very particular and special time in the history of the world. Once Christ went back to heaven, then we don't find nearly as much of this activity. And certainly, I wouldn't have any idea when someone was possessed of an evil spirit today, even though I'm sure that that could happen. The fact is that this was the case in that day. And so, those who were ill, those who were sick for various causes, those who were under this affliction of being possessed by an evil spirit were brought to Jesus, and he healed them. They came to the door where he was, and the Bible doesn't disclose where he was in actuality, but wherever he was, they were at his door waiting to be healed, and he did heal them. Well, that's the historical statement, but now let's try to discover what is the spiritual truth that God is teaching through this. Remember, Christ spoke in parables, and without a parable, he did not teach. So the Bible, which is the Word of God and is totally identified with Christ, has a whole series of historical events, but there is a deeper spiritual meaning, and we want to try to uncover this wherever we can. We say in verse 2 that it was even, and the sun was set. That is, the sun had gone down. Historically speaking, it marked the end of the Sabbath day. But spiritually speaking, what did it mark? You see, the sun in the Bible is sometimes used as a synonym for the Lord Jesus Christ himself, or for God himself. We read in Psalm 84, verse 11. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun, S-U-N, is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. If you read Psalm 19 carefully, where it talks about the sun coming forth like a strong man to a race, and go through those verses very carefully, you will find that the sun spiritually is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not our task right now. But that is the way the word sun is used there. In Revelation 22, verse 5, in the New Jerusalem, or in the New Heaven and the New Earth, there will be no sun to give light, because Christ will be the light. You see, he is the sun. And when the sun did set, it means there is no sun shining. It is nighttime. Now, nighttime is associated with the kingdom of Satan. It is associated with that which is evil. Remember when Jesus went out when Judas went out to betray Jesus, we read very cryptically in the Bible, it was night. You see, it was the time of the power of darkness, the power of evil. It was the time when Satan was going to bind Jesus, because Jesus had to go to the cross for our sins. Nighttime or darkness is frequently associated with sin and with hell, the judgment that comes because of our sins. The Bible speaks of hell in another place as a place of outer darkness. Or again, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, it speaks of us who have been saved as being translated from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where did Christ meet us when he saved us? He met us in hell. Oh, not literally down in a place called hell, but before we are saved, we are subject to hell. We are under the condemnation of hell. We have not been formally arraigned. We have not been formally charged as yet. That would occur at Judgment Day on the last day. But in principle, because of our sins, that is going to be the outcome. We are subject to hell. And this is where Christ met us. He endured hell for our sins. There is where he has found us. Remember in our earlier study, we saw that in Ephesians 4, it says that he descended into the lower parts of the earth and led captivity captive. The lower parts of the earth are a synonym for hell. We were slaves of Satan, and he led us forth as slaves or bond servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the picture that we have here in Mark chapter 1, verse 32. In the historical context, it was the end of the Sabbath day. It was at even. The sun had set. It was becoming dark. But spiritually speaking, it is a picture of hell, that we are outside of salvation at that point. We are slaves of Satan. And as a matter of fact, the Sabbath day was a figure of the Lord Jesus Christ. The seventh-day Sabbath was given as a sign that I, the Lord, sanctify thee, as we read in Ezekiel. And now it's the end of the Sabbath day. It is at even. We are in spiritual darkness. You see how the whole picture ties together. Now they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. The word diseased here is an interesting word. It's used both in verse 32 and in verse 34, where it says, "And he healed many that were sick." In the Greek Bible, there were at least four or five different words that were used to describe illness or disease. One was the Greek word arhostis, which normally related to physical disease. Another word was the word asthenio, which could describe any kind of disease. A third word was gnosis, which again could describe any kind of disease. A fourth was malachia, which again was used in describing various kinds of disease. And another was camno, that was used only in two other places in the Bible and really did not describe physical disease, but spiritual illness. But none of these five words are used here in Mark 1, verse 32, for the word that's translated disease, or in verse 34, where it's translated many were sick. It's another Greek word, which is the Greek word kakos, K-A-K-O. Yes, K-A-K-O-S. Now the word kakos, which is used six or eight times in the Bible in describing illness, physical illness, is a word, however, that more frequently, almost as perhaps as many as 50 times, to describe that which is evil, that which is very sinful, that which is of Satan. That is the normal meaning of the word. Therefore, I believe that God the Holy Spirit, speaking through the writer Mark here, carefully chose this word kakos. Because while in the historical context it's talking about those who were physically diseased, nevertheless, spiritually it is pointing directly to those who are under the domain of evil. Those who are in the hand of the evil one, Satan. Those who are spiritually ill, those who are dying of their sins, not of their physical illness. Oh yes, they might be dying physically of a physical illness, but spiritually they're dying of a spiritual disease. And you can see how that agrees with the spiritual meaning that we see here, that the sun is set and now here we find these who are slaves of Satan. Spiritually, they are diseased. They are a picture, that is, of those who are spiritually diseased. They are a picture of those who are in the hand of the evil one. And so it agrees entirely with the idea that also they brought to him those who were possessed with devils. The whole context is that Christ is there in the domain of Satan. And he, while in the historical context, it simply looks like it was the close of the Sabbath day, and there were some ill people here, and some people that were acting strangely because God tells us they were possessed of devils. Nevertheless, in the spiritual sense, this is a picture of Christ assaulting hell itself. And remember, Jesus said in Matthew 16, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." And here, spiritually speaking, or the spiritual picture would be that Christ is building his church. This is a picture of how he comes to this sin-cursed world, which is the domain of Satan, where we are all suffering from spiritual evil, spiritual disease. We are all under the hold of Satan, and these are the ones that he comes to heal. When we become saved, then with his stripes we are healed, because we have been straying from the shepherd. We have been going away from the shepherd, as Isaiah 53 puts it. Very beautiful picture of Christ in his work as Savior. Then verse 33 goes on, "And all the city was gathered together at the door." Now, isn't it interesting? In the historical picture, God does not tell us what door it was. That's unimportant. You see, the important thing is that God is using the phrase, they were gathered at the door. Now, what door spiritually do we have to come to if we are going to be saved? Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 10? I am the door. I am the door. What verse was that? That is verse 7. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dramatically beautiful picture of salvation. And so here we see all of these who are slaves of Satan, spiritually speaking, and some those who were possessed by demons, that was their obvious problem. They were possessed of Satan, and they're gathered together at the door to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the door. And so what did He do in verse 34? And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils. There you see is the role of Christ as Savior. He here is healing those who have been physically ill. But these are a picture of those who are in spiritual bondage, who are subject to the evil of Satan, and He spiritually heals us. And when He casts out these devils, this shows dramatically that He has power over Satan. He can cast them out at will. That is the authority that Christ operates under. Oh, what a marvelous teaching this is. I can't underscore it enough. No matter how deeply in bondage someone is to Satan, Christ is able to deliver that person. The marvelous thing is that we don't have to know whether a person is actually possessed of an evil spirit when they're unsaved, that is, that an evil spirit really is in that person, or whether he's just an ordinary unsaved person, or whether he's an emissary of Satan and that he's bringing another gospel. There is always one path for the deliverance of that person from whatever bondage to Satan he might have. And that person must come to the door, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there will be deliverance. When he comes to the door, when he's ready to cast his lot with Christ. We don't have to go around casting out demons. That activity isn't going on today, because God doesn't tell us who are possessed with demons. This was one of the signs that were employed in that day to show that Christ was God. And this was particularly in evidence because of the extra energy displayed by Satan as his house was initially being assaulted by Christ. But our role is to be a witness of the gospel, faithfully to declare the gospel. And as we faithfully declare the gospel, then those who are in bondage to sin and Satan, and regardless of how terrible that bondage or of how long standing that bondage may be, salvation will come. I know of cases where people have become totally involved with ESP, that is extrasensory possession and perception, and they have become involved with Satan in many other ways, as they could foretell the future and what have you. And yet the moment that they became a child of God, all of this vanished from their life, and nobody had to cast out a demon from their life at all. Satan has no part with the born-again believer. He cannot hold us any longer. He can assault us from the outside, but he no longer can possess us in any way. And then we read again, and in verse 34, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Now, I've been puzzling about this, because we saw this earlier in Mark chapter 1, when he cast out the demon from the unclean, from the man, the unclean spirit from the unclean man in verse 23. And in verse 25, Jesus said, hold thy peace and come out of out of him. And here we read that he suffered, in verse 34, he suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. What is God? Why is God indicating this? Later on, he also tells the man who was healed of leprosy that he was not to publish it abroad, see that thou say nothing to any man. Does that relate in any way? Well, we'll begin our next study with that question and then go on in verse 35 where we see Jesus praying. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you.